You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here with Sean.
Yo.
I'm here with Big Sal.
Yeah.
And I am here with a special guest, JD from JD's Logbox. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Of course. And JD, you have a YouTube channel, correct?
I do. JD's Logbox.
There we go. Simple as that.
JD's Logbox. I'm a subscriber.
Yes, yes. Sal is definitely a subscriber. Yeah. I believe I already subscribed a while back, but I'll have to double check.
Number 89.
Ooh.
Who's going to be number 90? That could be you, the listener.
It could be. Yeah, it could be the listener.
Or it could be you, Shant.
So we're going to be talking about genre-defining horror films.
What does that mean?
Like, for example, like films, not just like regular films, but like horror films that kind of laid the groundwork. So when we're talking about classic horror, you know, we had the universal horror like in the 20s and 30s. We had Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Invisible Man, Phantom of the Opera, all those. We had
Would this be something that no one ever saw before or since? Or is this something that once it came out, everybody was chasing to catch up?
Once it came out, everybody was kind of chasing. Okay. And then they were like, okay, let's throw something out and see if this is successful. And we had that when the Universal Monsters came out with that stuff. When they came out with the Universal Monsters, there was a monster palooza. It was an explosion of horror. It was like right in your face, an explosion in your face.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People are still trying to wipe that off.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
They won't be wiped off because there's too many people that love Dracula, that love Wolfman, that love the Creature of the Black Lagoon.
And you think about
that's not what I'm meant by they're wiping it off.
No, I don't think it is. But we're just glaze over that one.
Yeah.
But like people are still, those are still successful series. You know, we're getting another Wolfman. And I think it's coming out in like January or February.
We saw the trailer when we went to go see Speak No Evil.
Yeah, from Blumhouse. So we're getting another Wolfman series.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to start if you want, like the rise of indie horror.
Yeah, that's true. The found footage horror that we would get with
the late 90s.
Like the Blair Witch Project. Now, raise your hands. Who thought that like the Blair Witch Project was really found footage? Who thought it was real?
I thought it was real.
I didn't, and I had to convince everybody that it wasn't, but I'm a film file, so I was reading all the trades and getting all the background information, like, oh, they went out for so many weeks and filmed, and he would just leave little notes under their pillow, and they'd wake up and have to like, oh, today I'm going to be scared and running for my life, and this guy's got a secret. I got to get it out of him. There's like no script.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just, and everybody I've worked with was like, no, it's real. These kids really went in the woods, and they were never found again.
And it's like,
see, me personally, when I went to go see it first, it was the first time ever seeing a movie with a camcorder.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Okay, like, yeah.
There's no other movie that's ever done that. That's why I felt like it was real.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it wasn't.
So it kind of set the mold for the found footage.
It's the shaky cam.
Yeah.
Paul Greengrass was like sitting in the audience watching this and was like,
it wasn't just a shaky cam. It was the camera and the operator are character in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at Cloverfield, that was also from the point of view of the cameraman.
Well, they're using documentary techniques.
I mean, I did that with the Great Escape. If you go to Rumble Spoon Productions, if you go in, and that's where we're recording actually, we're at WCBH Studios in Chatsworth. But if you go to the Rumble Spoon Productions page, you can find the Great Escape. And we did that as a found footage film where it was two people and they were working in an office after hours. And they hear this giant thud on the roof. And of course, one of the characters is trying out his new camera, you know, that he just got. And so they run up to the roof and there's Superman. And he's dead and he's on the roof. And they're like, holy shit, what do we do? They found Superman dead on the roof. It's just two office workers. And of course, hijinks ensue. But the whole thing entirely is, oh, let me film. Oh, here, give me that. You know, I'm driving. And then, you know, everybody's switching back and forth and handing the camera to the other person and so on and so forth.
Very Chronicle-like.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was before Chronicle, actually. So
they owe you some money, man.
I think they do. Yeah.
They owe me money. they owe you money.
Yeah, me, not you. I don't know where you get you, just because you know me.
Part of it, Donald.
Yeah, I know. God. I don't know me.
Sal wasn't satisfied with the movie. He wants a refund.
Oh, Chronicle was great though.
No, it was a good concept, but I felt like the premise was a little weak. That was it.
So what do you guys, besides, you know, like we mentioned the Universal Monster, we mentioned the found footage thing. What other genre do you think like defined horror?
For me, Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's a good one. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street. Everybody was chasing that for 20 years.
The funny thing is that Wes Craven told how he came up with the concept, that he saw a news article that a man was telling the doctors that he didn't want to fall asleep. That if he fell asleep, that he would die. He stood up for like, I think 6 or 7 days. And then they finally, you know, induced him. And then he walked away and they came back and he ended up dying.
No shit.
And they didn't know how he died or what it was, but they came back and he's dead.
That's freaky.
That is freaky.
Jesus.
Because when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, I was like a little kid.
Yeah.
And you know me, I love, you know, scary movies and horror movies.
Mm-hmm. And big titty bitches.
Huh. So, you know, when I saw Nightmare on Elm Street, it was just super creepy enough where like it made me like, you know, it would warp my mind, especially like where Freddy Krueger extended his arms and scratching the walls in the alleyway.
Cool. Yeah.
Like it freaked me out. I'm like, why is his arms like, you know, like that?
One of the few series that I've seen, I think all of them. Like, you know me. I'm a bit of a sissy when it comes to horror.
Yeah.
I don't like gore. I don't like gore at all.
That shit.
So it really like that Terrifier shit, I'll never watch it. I'll never watch that shit. No.
It's human it's centipede crazy.
Ain't happening.
Oh, you know that's what I mean? That's just disgusting.
You saw Saw, right?
Saw. Yeah, but Saw is like,
and the second one.
Saw is like not really gory.
Another trendmaker movie.
Yeah. Saw really was. Yeah.
Beginning of the torture porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It really was the beginning of the torture porn. And then we got, Eli Roth.
Yeah, that was insane.
Hostel and stuff like that.
Cutting off penises crazy.
And whatnot. Yeah, fun. But, you know, you all got to go back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Which was the onset of the slasher film. That was like, I think everybody can agree, it was either between that and Psycho or Black Christmas, I think was another one a lot of people talk about.
It's Psycho, because Psycho's 1960, so.
Is that a slasher?
Yeah. I mean, what's the most famous scene?
But I mean, like, for me, slasher always comes with a lot of blood and guts. And
there's
Psycho
a level of tropes that goes with it.
Yeah,
you got like a group of young people in a given location. One almost supernatural character killing them off one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, the thing is that back in the day, they would do off-screen executions, especially with Psycho.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, know, everything, the imagination, they said, was more scary than the real thing. Than seeing.
Well, there was no off-screen. It was on-screen. It's just that you just didn't
see. No, you never saw the knife go into the body.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's all just the editing. But the same thing happens with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's nothing on there. There's no. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty bloodless movie. It's just that they cut it in a way that makes it seem like you're seeing something.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think
Toby
Hooper?
Hopper? I think, yeah.
Somebody correct us.
Would you say that the remake was justice to the original?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre? No.
I think it was with Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I mean, I like Jessica Biel.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that the part where like just Leatherface.
If you're listening, by the way, I am available. I'm single.
She not going to even look at your way. Anywho, when Leatherface was wearing her boyfriend's face.
Yeah.
Like the editing in that, it like threw me off because I had to like look, you know, more into the TV because I was like, that's not her boyfriend. And then like, he's wearing the boyfriend's face was just super creepy. And then not only that, when the chainsaw executions, like you see it in the remake. You don't see that in the old one because like I said, during the old times, they left our imagination more into it than in the remakes they would show it.
Well, yeah, it's a different type of sensibility. Times. Yeah, in the times. I mean, everybody, it's all about the editing anyways back then, because you see that they're the one of the famous ones where the guy gets hit in the head, right, with a mallet or something. They cut on that hit, but you swear you see it,
right?
And then, but the sound effects was like something.
Oh yeah,
like
that sound effect.
The sound effect was just crazy.
Yeah, that head of lettuce getting crushed.
Yeah,
yeah.
So crazy.
What do you think? Like JD, what are some of your?
I'm gonna go back to the kaijus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna go to Godzilla Land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that set a whole genre on its own.
That's true. It's particularly in Japan. I don't know
if you call it, if it's all horror. A lot more just like sci-fi fantasy, but
I think
it really did create its own genre.
Sci-fi horror, I think, because it is pretty horrific.
Are you talking about first Godzilla, or are you talking about Gojira, which is the original?
Well, that would have to be the original, so it sets the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I loved
minus
it.
One.
I loved it in black and white.
Yeah, the minus one was pretty horrific.
Dude, minus one was nuts.
Yeah.
Like,
it was great.
From like the beach scene. Remember when the guy was like trying to refuel, but he didn't want to go back to go fight?
Remember that one scene where you fell asleep?
You're going to bring that up again, son of a bitch? I was tired.
I loved it so much. I slept through part of it.
I slept 10 minutes through it.
I know. I kept having to wake you up.
The amount of time Sal sleeps through a movie is how his rating system. I slept for 10 minutes. That's a good rating.
That's an excellent film.
Listen,
I slept for half an hour.
It was the
part
where the guy screamed because he thought his girlfriend died. And then like he screamed for like, what, 2 minutes?
Solid two.
Solid 2 minutes of him screaming at the sky.
So he falls asleep when people scream at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So like Sal, like Goodfellas, how many minutes of sleep would you get through that one?
Oh my God.
Ray Liotta, I think, gave him a really good nap.
Yeah. So you're saying I'm a funny man, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Joe
you're saying Pesci, I'm a funny man? How funny am I?
Funny like a clown?
We can't say clown. Remember, it offends you.
It does. You're right. And clowns are offensive.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
it's that white very offensive makeup.
Yeah, other than the red hair.
Do you
make fun of Irish people? Come on.
Do you like Tim Curry's It or the new one?
Skarsgård.
I think they're both great. I think they're both great.
They're both amazing.
But if I had to pick one, it still would be the OG. It'd be Tim Curry. But overall, film wise, the remakes are much better.
You can't really compare film wise because it's a different time. You know what I mean? But like, I feel like Tim Curry's It was just a lot more creepier to me than
it was boring.
He was boring?
No, the film was boring.
Really?
It's boring as fuck. Like half
Kiss
of it
me,
was
fat boy.
Half of it was really boring. Like there was a lot of shit that did not need to be in there.
Yeah.
It was a made for television film, right?
Yeah, it was. It was on episodes.
Yeah.
And then they made a, I think it was like a two VHS.
Yeah, a 4-hour film.
It was it's 4 hours. Jesus
Loaded,
Christ.
Son of a bitch.
But then they did a part one,
yeah,
which was a smart move with the remake.
Well, yeah, but then they shit the bed on the second one. The second one was bad. You have to agree with me on that.
Yeah.
It was bad.
There were some cool scenes.
That cast.
Yeah, the cast was incredible.
The funhouse scene was
the story,
crazy.
Not so much.
Where he's like, you know, headbutting the window to get to the kid. That was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. What's another one?
Jaws.
Jaws?
Oh, yeah.
Jaws is a pretty
Well, I mean that I would say that's more like redefining what a blockbuster is. It was actually creating a blockbuster.
Well, I think
a summer blockbuster.
That's essentially a horror movie that made money, a ton of money, because most of those horror movies were smaller and niche. They never made like that much money.
Well, and then after that was what, like Poseidon Adventure or The Deep or things like that. They started to do Piranha.
More accurately Piranha. Yeah, yeah, Piranha from the same writer.
What's that one movie with Peter Weller, and they're like, you know,
the Leviathan, right?
That one was badass.
I haven't seen that one, but I know all about it. But I've never seen it.
Never seen it?
No,
do
I need to.
A favor.
It needs to go on my list because I love that underwater shit.
Yeah.
I love it. Deep Rising is a personal favorite of mine when it comes to like
underwater
monster.
Where does Deep Blue Sea rank?
I like that one too.
I like that one.
Hello, Cool J.
First of all,
it's fun.
I got one thing. I got one thing to pick about Deep Blue Sea. How massive the sharks were when they're in the water. How did the sharks shrink to be in hallways?
Well, when you get
shrinkage.
In the water, you
bloat.
You bloat.
You never got out of the pool, and then you know, like
they're all cartilage. They don't have solid bones.
Oh, okay.
They just
I've never had that
squish
problem,
down
Sean.
And go in.
Jesus Christ.
It's always small, that's why.
Oh. I don't hear you complain too much.
But no, but Jaws, actually, that movie made people get afraid to go in the water.
It really did. You know? You're right. And much like Scream made people afraid to answer their damn phone. Somebody was going to...
Someone asked me
how many times did you call a friend and be like, do you like scary movies? I mean, you at least did it once, right?
Hey, have you ever been poked?
Yeah, what? No. JD, you did it once, right? You called somebody and said, do you like scary movies?
No, I don't prank people.
No.
But you got pranked.
His campaign is, hey, do you like podcasts?
And the first
as much as much as Scream kind of created a whole new genre in its own, you made me think of The Ring.
That was a huge movie when it came out.
Yeah.
The Grudge was another one I can think about.
The Grudge was kind of following in the footsteps of The Ring.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's but Japanese
the,
horror, right?
Actually,
horror
that's a good one right there.
The Japanese one is called Juon. Yeah.
Ring.
That one's way crazier because out there, they don't have any rules like how we have rules out here.
Yeah, like
they
audition.
Go all out. Dude, the audition, nobody knows about that shit, bro. That movie is beyond crazy. Takashi Miike, the director of Audition, he's the Quentin Tarantino of the Japanese filmmaking. Very good. The Audition was nuts.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one called The Eye, which they remade it out here with Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
But the Japanese version.
Lots of those. Do you think there's another horror like archetype or horror like genre or subgenre of horror that we have yet to see?
Animated.
Yeah, but somebody else has to think of it.
Right.
It's if we name it, it's already out there. It's like it hasn't appeared yet. And when we'll see it.
I'm going to say cup horror. Cup horror.
I mean, they have the Gingerbread Man. They have the Evil Bong.
Just threw that out.
There's just so many.
Just the reanimated movies, right?
Well, if you think about it, Scream was the only one to have like a hugely successful parody series, Scary Movie, where none of the others really had any of that, you know? And they started to parody all the other horror films within that, but the basic building block of it was Scream. And that's pretty special.
Yeah.
And we're still getting Scream films, so good on Wes Craven for that.
Which is weird that Scream was a parody of Wes Craven's earlier work.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Also true.
Or it's satire.
Yeah.
A satire of his earlier work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he do Christine?
No, that was Wes Craven? John Carpenter.
That was Carpenter?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Craven and
that
was did the
Stephen King the earlier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wes Craven did the Nightmare movies and then One from the Heart with Meryl Streep.
But there's one movie, I don't remember what it's called, but it's this girl that threw a basketball at this old lady's face and her face blew up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see that all the time.
Yeah, that's America's Funniest Home Videos.
No, it's not. It's a horror movie.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't remember what it's called.
If anybody is listening, and maybe the one person that's listening, you can let us know in the comment section what film this was with the basketball exploding head.
Well, there's also Carrie.
Carrie.
Yeah. We just go down the list with.
I mean,
which really, yeah, there's just Stephen King genre.
Have,
yeah.
A period.
Yeah. Stephen King can just do like you can just remake
Christine, the cars.
Stephen King movies, a different kind of genre-defining movies.
Right? And there's so many stories that have yet been adapted of his, which is crazy to think about.
What about Maximum Overdrive?
Oh, that's. There's a lot of coke on that set, buddy. A lot of coke.
The Green Goblin of fucking diesel trucks? Come on, bro.
Yeah. And speaking of coke, no, I'm just kidding. I don't have any on me.
Say cocaine.
Do you have some?
No, I don't do that.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Just
too fat to
I mean, I was just checking.
Think I put cocaine in cheeseburgers?
But what are some of your guys' favorites out there in podcast land, all of you all listening? Go ahead and comment in the comment section what you think is a genre-defying horror film and why, and what are some of your favorite horror films? So go ahead and leave that in the comments. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank Big Sal, Sean, and I want to thank our special guest, JD from JD's Longbox.
Thanks a lot.
You can find us on YouTube. You can find JD on YouTube under JD's Longbox. And I want to give a special shout out to WCBH Studios. It's We Can Be Heroes Studios in Chatsworth, California for hosting us, and to Rumble Spoon Productions for producing. And thank you all for listening. If we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.